All right, Jim, you're welcome to start whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to this time of worship at Tabernacle United Church. And on this virtual service, where though we're not meeting in person, we are gathered together in this virtual context to worship God and to remember that we belong to God and to one another and to creation. And so welcome to this time of worship, each and every one of you. We especially want to welcome those of you who are visiting for the first time. Thank you for being here with us this morning. And if you'd like to connect further with us, we invite you to introduce yourself in the chat box. You can let us know your name, that you're here. We would love to know that you're here, if you're, especially if you're here for the first time. You can also fill out a visitor card, the tab visitor card online, and we'll put that link in the chat box in just a moment, so you can fill that out at the end of the service. That would be great, and we'd love to hear from you and connect with you further. So welcome to each of us to this time of worship. This is the first Sunday in Lent this year. And our theme for Lent this year is a time for healing, a time for healing. So as we walk these 40 days of Lent into Easter, we are remembering and going to be reflecting on healing, what that means for us, ways that we need healing in our lives, as well as ways that we as people, as individuals, and as a community can offer healing with our actions and our lives. So I hope you can join us throughout this season as we explore that and go deeper into what healing means and looks like for us right now. One of the great gifts and connected to that theme is a gift that the Environmental Action Team has given us along those same lines. And the Environmental Action Team has been working on a project together and has released hot off the press the Sacred Earth Handbook, which is basically designed to help us as a congregation to consider best environmental practices and how we in our actions can be healing the earth. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for us to, it's very practical, and the handbook has different themes. So today the theme is water. And we are going to be hearing a little bit later in the service about ways that we can help protect water and help to reduce the waste of water. And so we invite you to engage in that with us, and we'll be hearing more about that throughout this season. So we give thanks to the Environmental Action Team for their work on this wonderful resource. And I would also, I'm going to have a couple more announcements, but I want to hand it over to Lucinda, who also has an announcement related to healing the earth. Lucinda, I'll hand it over to you. Unless Lucinda's not here yet, which maybe she's not. All right, And then I'll wait on that. Oh, wait, she's just entered the waiting room. I'm going to actually, before Lucinda gives her announcement, I will give just a couple more reminders for this week. Prayer is on Tuesday and Thursday morning, 8:30. If you would like to join us, everyone's welcome to join us for prayer. That is also on Zoom, Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30 a.m. We will also be starting our Lenten Bible study on Wednesday nights at 5:30. We'll be meeting every Wednesday throughout Lent to study the healing stories of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. So please join us for that every week at 5:30. Also, I'm happy to announce again that we are every Friday now, we will be having a TAB happy hour at 7, from 7 to 8. Also on Zoom, drinks are optional. Everyone is welcome to come to that time. We especially invite folks who are new to the community to join as a way to connect and see and talk to each other and have some connection time in this virtual space that we're in so much of the time. So this Friday, again, TAB happy hour will be on Friday at 7 p.m. And let me check in here again. Lucinda, can you give your announcement as well?
I'm so sorry to be late. On Wednesday, folks were given seeds as part of a healing practice that we are going to be exploring during Lent. And we're inviting folks to plant seeds and see what kind of healing journey that begins for you and what we can explore together through that. And so if you did not get seeds on Wednesday and you would like seeds, I'm going to put a link in the chat for you to let us know that you would like them, and then we will get them to you. And especially let us know if you would like them, but you need help to grow them either with pots or soil. There's a place for that also in the form. It's just a quick couple questions. So feel free to reach out to me if you have questions, and I'm going to put the link in the chat. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucinda. Let's now enter into this time of worship. Let's open up our hearts, our lives to the movement of God's Spirit and welcome God's presence. Let's worship God.
Good morning. My name is Susan Wargo. My pronouns are she and her. And I just wanted to say that I'm so happy to be with everyone here today at Tabernacle. Please hear now our call to worship. God is with us where we are, in a crowd, by the side of the road, or alone in our home. God's work is healing and repair. Chains broken, sight restored, God's love comes to us in questions. What do we want God to do? This is the time for repentance and growth. Praise the God of liberation.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to join me in singing this morning to celebrate and put our voices together on Lead Me, Guide Me. Let's sing together. Help me through. was a song by Doris Akers, and I was just introduced to this song this week, this version of Amazing Grace that adds the lyrics, "My chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me." If you aren't familiar with this version, I think you'll learn it quickly as we sing this together. This morning I'm thinking about healing as it relates to our theme of this season and the sermon, and this is one song that I thought of.
Let us pray. Nourish in us, O God, the seeds of freedom during this Lenten season. Lead us to life-giving waters. Help our roots grow deep into the source of goodness. As we prune away what does not bear fruit, guide us. The dark soil of your love is rich and full of life. In your freedom is joy and wholeness. May this time bring those gifts. Amen. And now please join me in the prayer of confession. O God, we remember our shared humanity, our fragility, our mortality, and our dependence on you for every gift of life. May we turn once again in this season toward you, away from our own successes, our own power and ego, away from our violence, possessiveness, and greed, turning instead to you, to you, to you. We turn to you, vulnerable and open to truth about our own need for healing. We turn to you. Help us. Your help is in no other. Open up in us a spaciousness for your love to enter and for healing to define our Lenten journey. Amen. Hear now these words of assurance. The prophet Joel reminds us, "Turn unto God, for there is no one more gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." Every moment, every day, we can turn away from evil toward the unending love of God. This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Jesus is here, standing here amongst us in our homes. Jesus is also standing amongst us in community, offering us peace that passes understanding. And so we receive that peace of Christ and we offer that peace to one another. So let's take a moment to greet each other and pass the peace of Christ. You can unmute for a few moments and get loud if you'd like. So let's share the peace of Christ with each other. Peace be with you all.
Also with peace you. Be with everyone.
Baby.
Peace, everybody.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.
Good morning, peace.
Good
morning.
Good to see you.
Peace.
There we go.
Fletcher. Hello, Fletcher.
Hi, Kiki. Good to see you. Rob.
Hi, Pax.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Pax.
Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Mitch.
Mitch is there.
Hi, Kiki.
Ben and Randy. Hello.
Hello. Hey, hi, Jean.
Listen.
Hi, Amy.
Hi,
Adrian.
Hi.
Hi, Ken.
Heather, I remembered your name this week.
Hi, Carly.
Audrey Kaiser. Peace.
Okay. Good morning, Amanda.
We done this.
Hi, Ed.
Morning, all.
Is Ed there?
Hello, Maine.
Hey, baby.
Good morning, Elliot and Nicole.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Virginia.
See you soon.
Hello,
hi.
Chris.
Hi, hey. Jennifer.
Hi, Levi.
Rose.
Peace, Aiden.
Hi, Levi.
Morning, Polly.
Good morning to Alyssa. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Little guy.
60 people have reported.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning, Ruth. Hello.
Hey, Miss Kristen. Good to see you.
Hi,
Kiki.
Sarah, good
Hi,
to see you.
Hi, Geneva.
Sarah Harrison.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Pat.
Mom. Hi, Ruth. Back. Grandma. Mom. Good to see you.
I want to say hi to a particular person. Should I that person first?
Absolutely not.
Robin Kiki, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ken.
Jean and Amy, hi.
Hi, peace.
Peace to Chris
and I Ken Gritter. Hello, Ken.
Background. Oh, well.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi, Ken.
Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace
Heather
to Audrey.
And Heather Bergeron.
Hi, how are you?
Where's Vic's wife?
People are moving.
Hi, Susan. Back. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Donald.
Middle.
Oh, yeah.
This is the time in our service where we invite children forward and the young at heart to come closer for the children's time. And if you are one of those folks who would like to be part of a smaller circle of children and the young at heart, feel free to go down to your reactions in your Zoom menu at the bottom of the screen and raise your hand. Thank you. And let's sing together to invite those folks.
Come and see. Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning. I'm Pauline, and my pronouns are she, her, and it is so great to be able to see you. So I'm going to ask a couple questions at the beginning, so you can just raise your hand, and you'll be unmuted if you want to answer the question. So what I've got here is, it's a little hard to see because of, there we go, it's a glass of water. This is water from God. And I'm wondering, what are some of the ways in which you all use water in your house? Can you, if you want to answer the question, just raise your hand and you can be unmuted and you can speak.
How do you use water, Betha?
Soil.
For the soil?
For the soil? To water plants? What else do you do with water?
We drink it and we use it sometimes to measure.
Measure, right? How about in the bathroom? Are there things you use water for there? So if I'll tell you, I'll remind you some of the ways in which we use water. We not only use it to bathe, it looks like Levi raised a hand. There, I don't know if I can unmute. How do you use water?
Also, use water in cooking recipes.
Yep, you're really hard to cook without any water. You can't wash fruit without water. Can't cook. Can't measure. How about in that bathroom, though? I'm going to get back to the bathroom because there's some really important ways we use water in the bathroom. Anyone?
I have something to say about that.
Okay.
Where does the water go?
In the sewer.
Could you hear that?
No.
In the sewer.
Goes in the sewer, right? But what do you use it for before it goes in the sewer?
Plumber.
The plumber. Right. Well, I'll be like, the level I'm looking at, like in the tub, you use it to bathe yourself, but you also use it in the toilet. So this week, as many of the adults know, millions of Americans in Texas didn't have clean running water in their houses. So that means they couldn't flush the toilet. They couldn't take a bath. They couldn't get just a glass of water. They couldn't wash fruit. They couldn't cook. All of the things we use water for every day. And it just really brought home for everyone how valuable and precious this water is and how we have to take care of it. And so we can take care of each other. Because it's not just us, it's the whole earth, as one of you pointed out. Our plants need it, animals need it, we all need it. And I did a little research. And, you know, it's sometimes confusing because there's water everywhere. Right now, there's all this snow outside and it's falling from the sky. And we look out at the oceans and there's water there. But it turns out 97% of the water on the earth is salt water. So we can't drink in it. It's not really helpful to bathe in it or cook with it. It's too salty. And then of the rest of the water, most of it we can't get to. It's in glaciers. It's up in the polar ice cap. It's in mountains. So it turns out that less than 1% of all the water is drinkable water. And for like those of you who don't know what 1% means, it just means there's just a teeny, teeny bit. So it really means we have to take care of the water that we have and be really thoughtful about how we use it. So we as a congregation are going to be spending time during Lent thinking about how can we do our share to treat water as precious as it is. So, you know, I encourage you all to think about things that you can do to treat water really precious. And like one thing is when you're brushing your teeth, sometimes people leave the water running and we don't really need the water running when we're brushing our teeth. And so that's like a simple thing we can all do to conserve water and to treat water as precious as it is. And so drink it when we want to drink it, but not run the water when we don't need it. And so we're all going to be thinking of things we can do to treat water as precious as it is so that we can take care of the earth and all the people, all the animals, all the plants on it that rely on this very precious, precious thing. So do you want to join me in prayer? God, help us to treat water and all of your gifts as the precious life-giving substances that they are. Help us to think of that every day in the decisions we make, big and small, so that we can take care of, create all that you love, ourselves and all of creation. Amen.
This morning, in thinking about the precious resource of water and how that relates to healing, I thought of the song, "When Peace Like a River, It Is Well With My Soul." So if you know this song, please feel free to sing along. If you're just learning it now, we will sing through it twice, and hopefully you can learn it with us. Let's sing together.
Soul, it is well.
with my soul.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. I will be reading from the Inclusive Bible Translation. They came to Jericho. As Jesus was leaving there with the disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus ben Timaeus was sitting at the side of the road. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and to say, "Heir of David, Jesus, have pity on me." Many people scolded him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the louder, "Heir of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man. "Don't be afraid," they said. "Get up. Jesus is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus jumped up and went to Jesus. Then Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." Jesus replied, "Go, your faith has saved you." And immediately Bartimaeus received the gift of sight and began to follow Jesus along the road. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you join with me in prayer this morning? God of grace, shower upon us right now and in this moment your word and the word that we need to hear. God, make it grow in us, take root in us. I pray that that word would come to each of us through me and in spite of me. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And shift here to gallery view so I can see you all, or most of you, many of you. It's good to be with you this morning and to be sharing in worship together. Like Susan said before, it's just good to be together in worship, and to, even if we can't be together in physically, to be able to gather in this way is such a gift. So I'm giving thanks for that this morning. Rebecca Taussig grew up paralyzed and has lived most of her life in a wheelchair. While many assume that a person in a wheelchair would rather live without one, Rebecca says the dream of being separated from her wheelchair is a recurring nightmare. Wheelchairs, she says, are empowering, liberating tools for so many people. But we have a problem in our culture with imagination. Our larger culture sees wheelchairs, canes, walkers, and any other mobility aids as signs of sad symbols of defeat and disease, is what she says. ableism is perhaps a word you've heard talked about before, and I want to define that word, or at least have a attempt at a definition, just so we know a little bit what we're talking about when we say ableism. Perhaps it's a new word to you, but ableism is defined as prejudice or discrimination against people with disabilities based on the belief that typical abilities are superior. Ableism is rooted in the assumption that disabled people need fixing, and that fixing is, or curing, means that they look or behave more like bodies that are typical. Ableism is particularly harmful when it's cloaked in religious language. Rebecca Taussig shares a humiliating example of this during a time when she was grading papers in a coffee shop, and it was a busy day. A woman comes up to her and says that she believes that God has moved her to come up to Rebecca and pray for her that she would walk again. This woman who came up to Rebecca, in her imagination, she didn't see Rebecca as a human being as much as she saw her disability, and her disability as one that needed fixing. She imagined that if God were to heal Rebecca, God would cure her of her disability and make her walk again. But why, we might ask, did it not occur to this woman to pause and reflect and ask herself a question that Rebecca Taussig asks us to reflect on? And that question is, what does this person in front of me really need? What if the problem isn't that Rebecca can't walk? The problem is that our world makes it difficult for people like Rebecca to get around. What if the problem is not with able-bodied people and our imaginations, where we can only imagine a world designed for us? This also points, I think, to a deeper spiritual problem we have in America. Our mainstream white supremacist culture in the US, all of us are affected by this culture. It has a disdain for apparent weakness. We have a disdain for weakness, what looks like weakness in our culture. We don't like to acknowledge that all of us have physical and mental limitations. We don't like to acknowledge that. Sometimes just acknowledging our limitations can muster up feelings of shame and unworthiness. This spiritual problem, I think, is why we see mobility aids as signs of defeat and disease. We don't like to think of ourselves as creatures who have needs, creatures who are in need of help all the time, creatures who are interdependent on human and non-human life. We don't like to see ourselves as being in need. We have a disdain for limitations. We don't like to hear that we should limit our consumption, that we should limit our nice, hot, long showers, for example, to preserve and protect clean water. Don't speak to me about limits. I want to know that the sky is the limit, right? We like to know we don't have limits. Tell me I can have whatever I want. Tell me I can do whatever I want. That's what we like in our culture. We live in a white supremacist culture that has a disdain for disability, and we're all wrapped up in this, even though all of us, when we look truthfully at ourselves, we all have disabilities. I spoke with our friend, I think many of you know, Reverend Paul Grenier. He has preached one time at TAB for us. He's come to Bible studies. I give thanks for him. He's doing a lot of wonderful serving in different communities. And Paul is blind. And one of the things he said, and he gave me permission to share what our some of what we talked about in our conversation. And one of the things that Paul shared with me is just this very simple truth that we all have disabilities. We all have disabilities. And all of us, this was interesting to me. He said this, he said, all of us, as we get older, no matter what shape we are in today, we will become disabled. That's where we're heading, all of us. That's true about every one of our bodies. Our culture hates that truth. We don't like that. We don't want to hear that. And it's interesting to me to consider that this season, as we're in Lent, as we just went through Ash Wednesday, indeed, all of Lent and Ash Wednesday is in a very deep and critical way, a radical challenge to the cultural idolatry of ableism and a life without limits. It is a challenge, a radical challenge to that. On Ash Wednesday, we smear ashes on our forehead and we confess our mortality, our neediness, our creatureliness. And we do this, yes, by way of confession, by saying we all have work to repair and heal. We all have work to do to turn around and repent. But we also make this confession before God to open up ourselves to blessing, because God blesses our broken places. God loves a contrite heart, the psalmist says, meaning God loves when we know we are broken and in need, because only then can God do God's work with us. God can bless us there. God is eager to step into the places where we are and the places where we can name for ourselves our need for healing. That's where God can enter in. Rebecca Taussig asked us to reflect on the question, what does the person in front of you actually need? Instead of assuming we know, asking the question, what does the person in front of me really need? It strikes me that this morning, that's exactly the question Jesus asks. Jesus doesn't assume to know what Bartimaeus needs. He asks him, what is it you want me to do for you? Sometimes one of the most loving things we can do is to ask each other a question like that. What is it you want me to do for you? And in this story, it's interesting. A lot of healing stories in Mark are centered around touch or a particular touch. In this story, there's no touch. There's no touching here. There's a crux. Everything centers around this question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus. And it's a beautiful question because it's a question that is searching for truth. It's looking for the disabled poor person's truth to be heard out loud and centered. Whereas the crowd, notice, seeks to silence it. Jesus looks for the truth to be brought forth. Jesus looks for the needs of Bartimaeus to be spoken on his terms, on Bartimaeus's terms. The crowd tries to shut him up. But Jesus calls him forth and asks him to articulate, what do you need? And he throws off his coat. Bartimaeus jumps up and comes to Jesus as Jesus asks, what do you want for me to do for you? What do you need? This one question disrupts a whole world going on in this story. The question disrupts, for example, a first century worldview where sickness and disability were blamed on the sinfulness of someone's family. There's no talk of blame or assuming blame here in this story. This question of Jesus disrupts the hindering role of the crowd, who are arguably in more need of healing than Bartimaeus, because they're trying to silence him. Jesus, by asking, and centering Bartimaeus's question, silences the crowd, asking them to listen and learn and change. The question unleashes a process of healing. Yes, healing for Bartimaeus, but perhaps just as important, healing for the whole crowd, for everyone who is there, who is witnessing Jesus and Bartimaeus's interaction, because with that question, their worldview is challenged, and they are asked to consider that Bartimaeus may actually belong to them and they to him. What do you want me to do for you? This question is where we begin our Lenten journey this year and in this season. As we go along throughout the season of Lent, we're going to be looking at different healing stories in Mark's gospel. And there are many healing stories. Jesus' ministry, we could say, is really all about healing in one way or another. We'll be looking at that in greater depth this season. But important for us to remember this morning is something that Reverend Paul said to me as well. And that is that Jesus always heals, but we don't always get a cure. Jesus is a healer, but we don't always get a cure. A cure is different from healing. A cure is about a quick fix. It's about an elimination of a problem. It's about elimination of suffering caused by a disease. Healing is something different. Healing is about a movement toward wholeness, a restoration toward right relationship with ourselves, with God, with one another, with creation. And that process often takes time, a lot of time. Furthermore, healing, particularly in the gospel stories, always involves the larger transformation of the community, not just the individual. Because healing is about the kingdom of God coming. That's the sort of the, in Mark's gospel, that's the larger frame. When healing is happening, it's a sign that the kingdom of God is coming. It's arrived, it's coming, and it's here, and it's coming still. And if that's what it's about, then the kingdom of God is about building beloved community. And with beloved community, our neediness, our brokenness, our creatureliness, our disabilities, they become places of blessedness within that framework. They become opportunities for us to connect, care for each other, and to live into the reign of God. One of the things that Bartimaeus does in the purpose of Mark's gospel is he models for us a pathway to discipleship. He calls out for help. That is, he knows he's in need. He hears Jesus calling him. He throws off his cloak, the only possession he has. He leaves it behind and follows Jesus on the way of liberation. The portrait of healing in this story is also the portrait of discipleship. We are therefore invited to be like Bartimaeus, to throw off our cloaks. And you can think about what your cloak might be. Perhaps it is this thing that we use to hide our vulnerability and our own need and our own places of brokenness. To throw that off and just, yes, come to Jesus precisely where we are with all the broken parts of our lives. And Jesus will not offer a quick fix to us. No, he probably will also not offer an escape from our suffering. Jesus will bring healing, but he won't bring a cure. Jesus will bless us and will set us on a path toward healing. And I believe we can trust the one who himself was bruised and broken for our sakes. We can trust the one who went to hell and back. We can only heal, I think, alongside the one who himself was broken and went through that process too. So this week, I'd like to invite you to sit with Jesus's question. And don't think about how this question is directed to anyone else besides you. And I know it's a bit individualistic to just focus on you. But I think it's important that from time to time, we sit with a story like this and we allow Jesus to speak directly to us, because each of us have within us those places that we need to lift up and to answer to Jesus. These are the places I need healing. And Jesus wants to know. He asks you, what do you want me to do for you? Like most of Jesus's questions, this one requires not a quick or a hasty response, but invites deeper reflection. So you can carry this loving question with you this week and perhaps through the whole season. What do you want me to do for you? Amen.
Please consider offering your gift today so that we as a faith community can continue to do our work in our communities, asking others, how might we be helpful? Whether serving a hot meal or offering a family a safe place to live. In addition to our monetary gifts, we can also give to the healing and well-being of the earth with the way we lead our lives. This week, we ask that we all look at our use of water and what we might change in order to help care for the water of God's creation. Please give as you are able.
You are holy, show us the way. You are holy, show us the way. You are holy.
Loving and healing God, we are your people on this earth today. We pray that you will accept these gifts from us. Amen.
Amen. Pax, you got us all riled up with that song. Could see the hands clapping. So good to see folk moving around in their own homes. Amen. Thank you for the beautiful music this morning, Pax. Always such a gift to us, and truly part of our healing is in and through music. So we're so grateful. Now is the time in the service where we shift to listening to each other. And really, it could be a time where we respond to that question that Jesus offers up. What is it that you need me to do for you? What is it that you want or long for me to do? And so this is a time where we open up our hearts to ask truthfully, what is on our hearts? What are our longings? And to lift them up before God, because they matter and they're important. And one of the ways that we do that is we do that in community. We share our burdens with each other. We lift them up, and we carry one another's burdens. So this is a time where we will do that. We'll open up the space. If you're new to TAB, this is a time you're also invited to share. You can use the chat function and to lift up your request. If you have a joy you'd like to share, you can share that. If you have a struggle or any other prayer concern you would like to lift up before God and our community, you can do that now. So we'll take just a moment to gather those prayers. Pauline is going to read them as they come through. And so let's just take a few moments to hear, to share, and to pray.
From Ed Dugan, I need some prayers for physical healing. I fell on some ice and have some badly bruised ribs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Anna, prayers for my friend Doris, whose brother died of COVID and lives out of the country. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jim Gerhard, a prayer of thanks for Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doing for Texas what no white man in Congress would have done had the situation been reversed, and a prayer that the 2022 elections provide new members for whom she can be an inspiration. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Gina, from Anna, gratitude for a family getaway in the North Shore these last couple of days. Our family needed it. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Kristen, please pray that my husband's job opens soon. He has been out of work for over a month. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sarah Hill, prayers of so much gratitude for the Black Doctors Consortium in Philadelphia and all they are doing for the city. Very grateful to have been vaccinated early Saturday morning. Hallelujah. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Susan, prayers for the Thompson family as they move through this time of change and new beginnings. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Gina, really Gina this time, prayers for my coworker and dear friend Taylor, who was laid off this week. She has a 6-month-old baby at home and is feeling so much fear and hurt. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Laura, wishing my sister Jennifer another year of blessing and love on her birthday this past Friday. Happy birthday, Jennifer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Eloise, when you think about it, we are all at whatever age and physical stage, TABS, temporarily able-bodied. Thank you, Katie, for your sermon today. Blessings. And that is actually from Dick, not from Eloise. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Alicia, I want to uplift our Asian community members, especially those living in California who are organizing against and healing from an uptick in racial violence since the beginning of the pandemic. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Amanda, thanks that my friend Erica is on the road to recovery from her brain bleed and should be able to return to work eventually. Continued prayers for her and her wife, Mia, during this difficult time of recovery. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Pax, lifting up prayers for health workers on the front lines and those administering the vaccine. Prayers for their safety, strength, and well-being. Prayers also for an abundance of the vaccine. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Anna, prayer of gratitude for Quentin Quarantino, who raised $1 million for Planned Parenthood in the name of Rush Limbaugh. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Amanda, prayers for the protecting for the right to organize act, as it is essential to the ability to defend the rights and needs of marginalized populations. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Gwyneth, prayers for success at my job. It's a struggle, especially that my attitude might be positive rather than fearful and resentful. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Donald, please pray for our friend Karen, who has an aneurysm, among other things, and needs to continue to change her lifestyle to be better. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Anna, for my cousin Sheraton, who is in an abusive relationship marriage. May God give her guidance and keep her safe. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Katie, prayers for all those for whom reconciliation is not a healing path, and for learning how to live in separation for health and goodness is blessed for you. And please, God, be with those going through painful separations. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thanks to each of you for sharing the prayers of your heart. And we take that time now to gather up these prayers that have been shared and to listen also to the prayers that are not spoken out loud but remain on our hearts. So let us lift up all that has been shared and let's sing together. Today and in this moment, we turn to you, to you, to you. Again, you are our refuge and our strength. And you tend to those places that are broken in our lives. Indeed, God, you care. You reach out your hand toward us in all of those places. Help us, God, to reach back, to not be afraid to admit our need, to be vulnerable. Help us, God, to not pretend that we are invincible, that we can do everything, that we don't have limits, and that we're in fact not called to have limits. God, you have given us this blessedness of being creatures formed in your image, in need of one another, in need of connectedness with you and with creation. Help us not to ever forget that, but to find our place and our belovedness within that larger communion. God, be with us in all of these places where we struggle. We have voiced many situations, including names of people who are hurting and struggling. but also many that for whom we don't have names or just situations we know of. God, these are all people and situations that are known to you. And so we lift them up into your healing hands and ask you for help. God, we lift up all the prayers that have been spoken. We lift up the prayers that are on our hearts that we couldn't perhaps find words to articulate, but you know them. We lift them up to you. And we commit ourselves to you again and to your way of connection and love. We commit ourselves again to your way of discipleship, your way of liberation and justice. Keep us on that path. These things we ask in your name. And we thank you for teaching us the prayer that we will pray together. If you know it by heart, you can say whatever version you know, or if you'd like to follow along the version on the screen. Let's pray together. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, siblings, as you go throughout your week this week, I invite you to take the question with you that Jesus offers us. What do you want me to do for you? Remember that that question comes from one who has been through it, who has been through hell and back, who has been through suffering and the process of healing. We can trust a wounded healer. We can trust that wounded healer with our lives. So let's go knowing that we are cared for, that we don't go alone, but that God is with us and walks with us through the valleys and the shadows and all that we go through. Let us go and share the love of God, the healing power of God in our lives. Amen.